This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome into the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for the next hour or so. It's my first day back this week for the Nightcap. Wasn't here Monday. I was driving back from Baltimore. Tuesday, we had a Sabres game, so this is my first time I can really, like, you know, sit down and really collect my thoughts and really, you know, kind of throw them out there about how I thought the Bills played against Baltimore, how I thought that game went, my trip to Baltimore. I went to the game. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Obviously, it's Wednesday. I mean, you know, week 5 starts tomorrow with the Broncos and the Colts. But real quick, I do want to talk about the Bills 23-20 win over the Baltimore Ravens this past weekend. I did go to the game. It was a blast. It was my first ever Bills road trip that I had done. I did it with my dad, my brother, my cousin, and my uncle. And, you know, got some good food, got to travel around Baltimore. I got to see Camden Yards for the first time, which was something I did not think I'd be as impressed as I was in. But now, you know, me and my brother have already talked about taking another trip next summer. Next summer. And trying to get to a game, even if it's just, you know, we drive down on a Saturday morning, get to see a game, and drive back Saturday night, something like that. But I do want to talk about the game, mainly because I really didn't even get to put my thoughts on Twitter after the game either. I was trying to get out of the stadium. It was rainy. It was cold. I was not going to put my phone through that. So real quick, before we get the rest of the show going, I'm thrilled the Bills could get that close game out of the way. Quietly, I was sitting there to myself going, I really want this to be a close game, and I want the Bills to win it because I don't want to have to deal with the narrative anymore. You know, for me personally, for the team, all that stuff, just that the Bills can't win close games, that if it's a one-score game, the Bills will lose. The Bills come from 17 down. They end up winning the game on the final kick of the game, and that was the first time they actually had taken the lead all game, even though they had some other opportunities to potentially take the lead earlier in the fourth quarter. That was the only time they did, was when the clock expired. Allen and Lamar Jackson, both of them are just, they're exceptional to watch. I mean, they are so much fun. It is very clear their teams, both of them, very much go where they take them. And Lamar had a very, very good game. I still think you could see in the second half, too. Lamar, I think, was 8 of 13 for 36 yards in the second half passing-wise. Just not at all a good second half performance by the Ravens offense, but that's kind of been their MO to start this year. They're really, really good in the first half. They did remind me a little bit of that 2019 MVP season by Lamar in that first half. It was just, they could do whatever they wanted. It looked so easy for them, and that was the most frustrating part, is how easy it looked. And then, of course, if you listen to Show Bulldog, me and Bulldog were talking today. Mike Shope had the day off, but me and Bulldog were talking about that crazy play. You thought Lamar was getting sacked. He gets out of it, rolls out, throws it. It's like four times tipped, and it winds up being a Baltimore catch for like 25 yards. And it was just obnoxious that you thought, yeah, this is over. But the Bills ultimately come back from down 17. They win 23-20. But now we look ahead to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, we know for a fact already, Kenny Pickett will be getting his first career start in the NFL against the Buffalo Bills at Highmark Stadium this Sunday at 1 p.m., I'm excited for Kenny Pickett. I didn't think Mr. Trubisky was really offering much for that offense. It was really, I think it's both him, I think it's Matt Canada, their offense coordinator, kind of just a hodgepodge of everything. But really, the Pittsburgh offense looks just dead. It looks flat. It looks like it's barely got any life. And you can kind of tell earlier in the season, like week two, I want to say a lot of the Steelers, offensive stars were kind of taking their shots at Matt Canada and Mitch Trubisky. When it kind of became announced he had left the Jets game early, Kenny Pickett got a run there, not due to injury. They pulled Trubisky and Pickett got some playing time. They ultimately lose to the Jets. I do think this is going to be the first losing season for Mike Tomlin as Steelers head coach, and actually as a head coach at all. The Steelers are the first time he's been a head coach, and he's been there forever. That's how I know him as the Steelers head coach. And they're 1-3 right now. And the Bills secondary, for all the injuries they have, it looks great. Kyer Elam was a real standout on Sunday against the Ravens, and I expect he's going to continue that. Tre'Davious White, while he's not back today, today was the first day for practice, obviously, for Wednesday, that he could be removed from the PUP list and to begin practicing with the team. He continues to recover from his torn ACL he suffered last Thanksgiving against the New Orleans Saints. They have not done that. And Sal Capaccio was on earlier with Bulldog, and I fully agree. And again, I'm not at practice every day like Sal is, but just hearing him say that he really thinks the Bills are doing whatever is best for Tre'Davious White, the person, that they're willing to go through these lumps with these rookies or kind of, not a hodgepodge as we're seeing. A lot of these guys are just supremely talented, but just kind of seeing where it goes and just making sure Tre'Davious White is healthy. Sal also brought up the situation with Chris Godwin, the wide receiver for Tampa Bay, and how he had also torn his ACL a little bit after Tre'Davious White. He was brought back, and he plays a similar position to Tre'Davious White, cornerback, wide receiver. I mean, that's, you have to be able to move. You have to have comfortability in your knee after an injury like that to be able to move the normal way you do. And he came back, and he clearly came back too early. He injured his hamstring basically immediately. And they've been dealing with that, and only recently have the Bucs gotten him back, and they've somewhat found themselves into a hole after they lost to Kansas City on Sunday night. So now, I've gotten to a point, and I said it earlier when the season started, and we knew officially that Tre'Davious White was going on the PUP list. I thought really the game to see him come back would probably be Kansas City, and I still stand by that. I could see maybe like Friday that Tre'Davious White is on a limited basis practicing with the team, but for right now I'm not really panicking about it. I'm okay with it. I really like what Kyer Elam is doing. Dane Jackson has been more than serviceable as kind of the lead cornerback right now while the young guys kind of come along. He dealt with his neck injury, which ultimately wound up almost on like the same level of just like a pinched nerve in his neck, and that they were just really being cautious with it because he was back full force against the Ravens. He played great. Jordan Poyer is back. He did not practice, however, today. I think he's dealing with a rib injury. I do know after the Ravens game, I only saw this about like a half hour, 45 minutes after the game, he actually went into the x-ray room to get x-rays, so on his ribs. He did not practice today. However, I'm not really freaking out about that. Not really at all. And we do know Jordan Phillips and Ed Oliver, they were limited today. Those two continue to get better. I really, really hope we get to see those two back in the starting lineup, back healthy, because the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is atrocious. It is not good. They can't really run the ball. They're not getting any time at all for their quarterbacks to even make plays. You know, I said Matt Canada and Mitch Trubisky had a bit of a both had a bit of a role in how Trubisky played for the first four games of the season before obviously he's now benched. Kenny Pickett, the era that era begins now. But their offensive line was also not good. It flat out wasn't good. I think Chase Claypool as well. He was a very exciting receiver his rookie year. I really liked him coming out of Notre Dame. And there's no second year step. There's just, he can't even go up and get contested balls at all. He's not that good. But George Pickens, the rookie out of Georgia, he looks like a very, very promising wide receiver. Pat Freiermuth, the young tight end as well for the Steelers, looks very, very good. But ultimately, the Steelers, they do just look like a team that essentially their ability has caught up to them. I think the last 2 years, they were sort of this old, you know, once formidable team and brand that was somewhat clinging on to life. I mean, Minkah Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt alone make the Steelers' defense one of the best units in football and one of the most devastating as well, because Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety is a great turnover artist, and TJ Watt is maybe one of the best sack artists in all of football. TJ Watt, of course, is still down. He's still on IR for the Steelers, and safety Minkah Fitzpatrick, he missed practice today due to his lingering knee injury he has. So there's potential he's out, and there's potential that five of their six starting secondary players could also all be out for the Bills. The Bills fans know this all too well, kind of having very much what feels like a backup secondary out there. A lot of the Bills' starting secondary was out against the Miami Dolphins. But big and good news today was on the offensive side of the ball, and that being wide receiver Gabe Davis. He was a full participant today. He's had just a lingering ankle injury the past 3 weeks. So hopefully, if he's healthy, if he's fully a go, and the video shown today at practice, very quick from a lot of our local media, he looks good. He looked healthy. He looked like he can really put weight on that ankle. Quick cuts are not what they were doing to him the past 2 weeks, where you'd see, you know, a video, he makes a quick cut, doesn't really, you know, go right, and he's got somewhat of a kind of obvious limp, or he's clearly laboring a bit, and very much it showed the last few games where he's playing, and that's about all I can say. In Baltimore, just at least, I have Gabe Davis's jersey, and I am a bit superstitious. I don't like getting player jerseys just because they don't seem to go well for me. I have a Kiko Alonso jersey and a Jack Eichel jersey. I got them very, very shortly before they, their times in Buffalo were done. But there was like a part of me that was very nervous that, like, I got this Gabe Davis jersey and he gets hurt. And now it's just, I think he has 8 catches total on the season. That is just not good enough. But he has been dealing with his injury. Hopefully now, again, videos that were shown today through our local media, looks like he is much better, at least looks better. He looks healthier. And I hope so, because I think he can absolutely take advantage of this Pittsburgh secondary, which, if there's no Minkah Fitzpatrick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
And he's healthy enough to stretch a defense, which has been a bit of an issue for the Bills the last 2 weeks. They've just not been able to stretch the defenses like they can because of Gabe Davis. Him not being 100%, and really there's just no one else next to him that can do that job. Of course, you know, Kumerow, who he did have a long catch early in the season, he is out. He's got a high ankle sprain. He's out for probably at least a month. And Diggs, you know, like they can only do so much with Diggs before, you know, people are just doubling up on him. And that's probably a normal situation anyways. So that's great news that he was a full participant. I don't imagine that changes at all the rest of the week. Hopefully we get to the point where we get Phillips and Edmonds, or not Phillips and Edmonds, Phillips and Oliver being a full go, and there's no issues there. But to recap the injury report for today, Benford, Crowder, Kumerow, those guys are not too surprising. Crowder did suffer a broken ankle against the Ravens. Benford, of course, has his broken hand, and as I mentioned, Kumerow has a high ankle sprain, and they were joined by Edmonds. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, as is Knox. Knox also has a foot injury, and then, of course, McKenzie and Poyer. McKenzie is still in concussion protocol, while Poyer, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, a bit of a rib injury going on for him right now. And then guys who were out with vet rest days, DaQuan Jones, Von Miller, and Roger Saffold. Now, moving on to the rest of the NFL, because there was some, you know, kind of interesting news today. Number one, former Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley, he retired from the NFL. Beasley played 11 seasons in the league. He spent three of those with the Bills. I think that's probably, I mean, just off the top of my head, he was known on the Cowboys. That's the team he was on before the Bills. But, I mean, I think those are easily his most successful seasons in the NFL. Like, I mean, for a number of reasons, but mainly, number one, in 2020, Beasley was named to the NFL second team All-Pro, and that's the only time in his career that he has had that recognition. And, you know, it was interesting. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't pick him up in fantasy. I did when he went to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I thought that could be a very, very interesting pickup for me and just, you know, kind of see what could happen there. And he lasts 2 weeks. I believe his agent came out and said that he, you know, he kind of wants to retire and just become a full-time father. And I can absolutely appreciate that. I have absolutely zero problem with that. There's obviously been some news in the media, in the sports world, very, very recently about Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen and what's going on there. And I don't really want to jump into that, but there are reports coming out from a number of news sources that they are hiring divorce lawyers. So when I see Cole Beasley wanting to retire to essentially just become a full-time father, it is relevant in the news right now. Going to his career stats, though, easily his most successful period was with the Buffalo Bills. He had one really great year in Dallas, that being in 2016. 98 targets, 75 receptions, 833 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And then the next year, down to 300 yards, 600, and then he gets to Buffalo. He has almost 800, almost 1,000, and then just shy under 700. Really, that 2020 season, though, again, 89 receptions, 967 yards, 4 touchdowns, really, really good. He's a guy who's undrafted out of SMU, who, by the way, are actually playing right now against UCF. I got that on the TV here in the studio. But it was a really good story, and he was absolutely fundamental to the development of Josh Allen and the offense as a whole. And the Bills' offense we see today. One big thing, especially with the recent, I wouldn't even say developments, just kind of like the understanding that the Bills' running game is still not good. Right? It's still just, there's just not enough there. I'm somebody that does want to see James Cook get involved more, but to be completely honest, every time he does, it does seem like he has a negative play to start the day. And that, as a fan at least, is very, very frustrating. But as someone that is a James Cook fan, I think he offers that element to the team that they just don't have. I do want to see him involved more. But Beasley was part of that run that really changed the Bills' offense. And it makes me remember today, especially, that start to the 2019 season. I mentioned already the Baltimore Ravens, their 2019 season. But for the Bills, it started in a really, really cool way. Against the Jets, they had 2 straight games back-to-back in New Jersey, Jets, Giants. But in that Jets game, while they had to fight to get back into that, and ultimately I took last 3 minutes, a touchdown pass to John Brown, the Bills opened up that game with like 19 straight passes. And that was something I don't think anyone expected, especially not in 2019. I mean, now, Bills fans, we don't bat an eye at, 12, 13, 14, 15 straight passes. We barely bat an eye. But in 2019, to open up the season with 19 straight passes, number one, I think it really, for a lot of Bills fans, put Brian Daboll somewhat on the map in terms of, what you're thinking about, consistently for a Bills game leading up to it and all that stuff of, what's Daboll going to do today with the offense? Josh and the offense had a few turnovers there, so that's ultimately what had to lead them to have a bit of a comeback victory there. But it was a really eye-opening moment where, this team kind of trusts itself to throw the ball. They feel comfortable throwing the ball. And, of course, that takes, a nuclear event in 2020 where they are chucking the ball down the field. They are scoring points at will. 2019 was sort of it was the blueprint to what they ultimately want to do, what the ultimate final construction is. But 2019 was a bit of the blueprint. And Beasley played a huge part in that. No one was ever, you had a few people that were kind of convinced John Brown may be a one. I think realistically it is now, as we've moved past, Josh's second year now into his fifth year, it becomes pretty obvious that Josh just works really, really well with a number of wide receivers. Stephon Diggs has career years here, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that Stephon Diggs is a top 5 receiver in the NFL, but also his connection with Allen and the fact that Allen is just not somebody that's ever nervous or gun-shy to get, talented receivers the ball. That he's not, he can deal with personalities, I think. And it's not that Diggs has one, but, potentially, years down the road, there may be a big personality for the Bills to deal with that wide receiver. I don't imagine Josh is going to have much of an issue dealing with that at all. It's just his personality. Who's open? I'm going to get him the ball. I don't care. I'm going to get him the ball. And, of course, again, Stephon Diggs is not that guy. We've seen now with Minnesota and kind of his issues there was more to do with the offensive system and Kevin Stefanski. He really wasn't a diva anyways. I mean, as you can see, they were underutilizing him. I'm now somebody that believes Stephon Diggs could potentially have a Hall of Fame career to end his career and sort of like maybe put a lot of Minnesota into context and really look at his Buffalo career. But if not, he's going to look back at those Minnesota years and be a bit frustrated that he wasn't getting the ball more because he's clearly a better wide receiver than Adam Thielen, even though in his time in Minnesota, they really favored Thielen there. But back to Beasley. He played a big part in that sort of development of the offense, development of Josh, because yes, while John Brown was never really considered that number one A receiver, as I was saying, Cole Beasley was very clearly a stud slot receiver. And I think that was the key difference there is that, going into that offseason where they eventually do trade for Stephon Diggs, you weren't sitting there going, yeah, but they really got to look, at the entire receiving room. Cole Beasley's spot going into 2020 was absolutely secure. And he puts up the best slot season that year. That's ultimately what gets him on the all-pro team, the second team. And, it was a big career year for him. There was some other stuff going on off the field, especially with coronavirus and all that stuff that, kind of took away some of the shine of that really, really good season by Cole. But I may not agree with it. It's not really, what I cared about, though. I thought Cole Beasley was great for this team at the time. And as we can see here, it's probably a really good thing that the Bills didn't bring him back. I think it was pretty obvious last season that he was dealing with more injuries. He wasn't on the field nearly as much. And they moved off of him. Now we're kind of seeing the Bills try to transition to a new era in their slot receiver role. Right now, it's kind of up in the air, though. Crowder has a broken ankle. Isaiah McKenzie's in concussion protocol. So it's going to be up to rookie Khalil Shakir out of Boise State to see what he can do. I'm a big, big fan of Shakir. I think anyone that's listened to this show over the last few months and has heard me talk about Shakir knows that. I think he can do a lot more than just be a slot guy. I think he's got some of the smoothest hands on the team. I think he's a great route runner, and I like what he can do when he gets ball in the hand in his hands. And we saw that in Baltimore where he took a screen pass for, I think, 13, 14 yards off the line of scrimmage. It was a great play for him, and it was kind of the opposite that we've seen with James Cook, who seemingly gets some of those opportunities, gets a little swing pass out to him, and it's a drop. He had that in Baltimore as well, where Shakir, first pass to him is, like, I think, in the third quarter, and he gets a big first down as the Bills are driving. I want to say they score a touchdown on that drive. So it was a big drive for the Bills, and Shakir played a big part into that as well. But getting Gabe Davis back will be huge. I think he's become clearly the Bills' second wide receiver, and I think really, that's been a revolving door. So I really hope he's healthy and gets back to what we saw in L.A. against the Rams, where he scores the first touchdown of the Bills' season. They did a lot of stuff that they did with Gabe in his rookie year, where they schemed him open. They just launched the ball 25 yards down the field, and Gabe Davis is just wide open because you schemed open. I think we're going to have to start maybe seeing Dawson Knox used a bit more. I think that's going to be a thing. He's yet to really justify that contract, right? And that was something that I know Mike Shope has talked a little bit about, and I'm now on that bandwagon a little bit too of I'm glad they signed him because I really like what Knox offers, but is his target share, is the amount of catches he has really going to be worth it, or is he just going to be a red zone guy? And right now, it's not totally worth it, and it's not that I'm not trying to, bang on Knox here, but it's not totally worth it yet. And so hopefully with, a number of injuries here and a bit of a weakened Pittsburgh team heading, and you got to get ready for the Chiefs as well. I'm a Bills fan, so I'm allowed to look forward. The team is not. I am. Knox was a big part of that win in the regular season. I would like to see him starting to get more reps, more touches as the season goes on, because I think he can be a big part of this Bills offense. But for right now, they're just not using him nearly enough. We are going to take a quick time out, though, when we come back. The Sabres regular season is just around the corner. It starts next Thursday against the Ottawa Senators, but the Sabres do have one more preseason game, that being against the Pittsburgh Penguins this upcoming Friday. We'll talk a little bit about the vibes that are kind of going around with the Sabres. I was somebody that was sort of, I was very excited for the Sabres season, but I was kind of a little bit, let's wait and see. But this preseason and the look of some of these guys has got me really, really excited. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for the next half hour or so. Talked a little bit about the Bills. In the first segment, I went to Baltimore, got to see them live, got to see Lamar Jackson for the first time live, which is really, really cool. And where I think the team is kind of going with the Pittsburgh game, I'm really not nervous about Pittsburgh. I know they beat us last year in week one, and I was super, super confident the Bills would start 1-0 last year because I just thought there was no way after going to an AFC Championship game and all the fans being back that they would lose. They ultimately did. But with that being said, TJ Watt is out. Minka Fitzpatrick, even if he's in, is going to be very, very banged up. And I think the Bills kind of know after that, after Jacksonville last year, they cannot take any team lightly. You will be every team's likely biggest game of the year, or at least one of the toughest opponents you're going to play all year. And I also talked a little bit about the Bills' legacy for Cole Beasley and kind of what he meant for this team, especially back in 2019 and 2020, and how I'm kind of going to miss the steady hand that was Cole Beasley in the slot position. He didn't offer any crazy athleticism, but he was pretty much always there, and you could really count on him on third downs. And we're in the middle of that transition in slot receiver right now with two injuries. Rookie Khalil Shakir is likely going to get a major rep boost because of that. So we'll see what happens. But moving on to the NHL, the Buffalo Sabres, who have had a very, very good start to the preseason. They sit right now at 4-1 after another win last night. And man, before we jump into this, I guess I'll just say right now what I thought my expectations were going to be going into the season. I was not somebody that thought about playoffs. I was very much somebody that thought, let's have an exciting season. Let's see more growth from the young guys, such as Dylan Cousins, Peyton Krebs, of course, and then some of the really young guys who are coming up. I think that would probably include Jack Quinn and maybe even J.J. Paterka. However, especially from his play this preseason, I imagine he will start the season in Rochester. But I wanted to see more growth more than anything. I looked at the goalie situation, Eric Comrie coming over in free agency. It should be a steady hand between the pipes, but we will see. Craig Anderson still being here, which is, I'm up in the air about it. I think them getting Comrie has sort of leveled my expectations on that a bit more than what it was initially, which was, oh, you cannot just bring back a 41-year-old and expect that to be your guy. I want to see a little bit more from UPL, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but we'll see what happens there. But that was before preseason. I also want to see Tage Thompson and really make sure that was not a one-year wonder, especially after he got his big deal just a few weeks ago, about a month ago or so. But the Sabres sit at 4-1 in the preseason. And especially last night, I didn't get to watch the game live. I did watch the highlights earlier today right before work, and I was kind of keeping an eye on that. And I wanted to see a little bit based off what I saw on Twitter yesterday. And kind of course, Tage Thompson, I just mentioned him, gets a Gordie Howe hat trick in the first period, goal, assist, and a fight. Love to see that. We'll get back to that in a second. They looked fast, though. They did look fast. They were all over Carolina last night, and they did get cocky. Paul Hamilton joined Bulldog in the 6 o'clock hour and kind of said the same thing, that they just, they let up, they got cocky, and very quickly became 3-2. They were able to close out the game, though. Paterka put away the empty netter. Good to see that, especially because he's had somewhat of a weaker camp. But the vibes around this team are so, so much better than they really have been in a long time. And I'm not saying, 10, 15 years, that would be ridiculous, because the Eichel vibes early in his career were very high. I would say, especially after getting Ryan O'Reilly and Evander Kane in the same, I want to say the same night. I might be remembering that wrong, but I felt like the same night both those two wound up. No, because Kane came over. It was drafting Eichel and getting Ryan O'Reilly. That was the same night. My apologies. But I think those teams had very, very good vibes. But there was, the defense was bad. The coaching at the time was also not great. And really, they had talent, but not really, I guess really a good feeling around the team at all. And the coaching was terrible. And even then, like, GMs and the scouting was obnoxiously bad. And now that feels like it has turned a corner, that Kevin Adams really is putting in a lot of confidence for a lot of Sabres fans of, no, I trust what he's going to do. I trust the process that he is putting out there. And that was something that just you didn't have for years. You just did not have that because they were not a good drafting team. They constantly had misses. But now you're starting to see, guys like Matthew Savoy, the Sabres drafted him 9th overall in just this past draft, and he already looks very, very good. And then you add in the fact the two young goalie prospects, who both are going to be in college, Eric Portillo and Devin Levi, look spectacular. During the prospects challenge, when those two were up, they were the stars for me. Levi especially just looks like he is going to be a bona fide star in the NHL. And really, for me, going into the season, it was kind of waiting for those guys. Again, the younger guys, get a year better, get a year under your belt more, and just wait for the young goalies to come in and probably in this offseason make a big move. Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars has kind of been a name that's really been going on around the NHL, especially the last few days, even today as well. Kevin Weeks of NHL Network was kind of a little bit of breadcrumbs here of, he's hearing stuff. Is Robertson going to get a big deal with Dallas after the Matthew Barzal deal yesterday? is probably going to get a lot more money. Again, 40 goal scorer, 23 years old, I want to make sure on that. Yes, 23 years old. Barzal, 25. And even then, I want to say Robertson has scored. He scored 40 goals. I don't even think Barzal has that in the last two seasons. Barzal's good, yes. And I'm not saying Robertson's like that much better than him. But as a, you know, a wing talent, of course, as a Sabres fan, I kind of wanted them to get him. I wanted the idea of them to trade for him. And I have really enjoyed. I liked a few tweets that were talking about this too. That, you know, we're now at that point, you know, Sabres fandom at least, where you sometimes get that little bit of an unrealistic feeling about them. Not necessarily what they're going to do, but in terms of, all right, you want the team to trade for Jason Robertson. I'm going to give up two completely unwanted players and a second-round pick. And it's like, that's not how this works. And for those that know, when I got the show from Sneaky Joe DiBiase a few months ago, one of the first things that was really going on in the sports world was not only Johnny Gaudreau going to Columbus, but Matthew Tkachuk also likely wanting out of Calgary. Now, at this point, obviously, we know he's with the Florida Panthers. But at the time, I had kind of talked about the fact that I would really, really like the Sabres, Kevin Adams, to really dive into that and see what could happen. Before even that, you know, it come out that, you know, Tkachuk was out and like the deal is going to be moving fast, I'd say at the trade deadline, I would love for the team to really go after it. You know, wherever the standings are, go for it. Show that you're serious. Show some free agents who, I don't really know how many free agents the team really is going to want to add, you know, going into next year. Okay, we'll see how this year goes. But at the time, there wasn't an obvious name that I'm like, oh, they're going to have to replace him. You know, not with a young prospect coming up, because that's a thing too. But it was more, you know, go try to get him. You're loading the prospect pool. Most rankings, websites, and even NHL Network and NHL.com and all that, they pretty much all have the Sabres as the best prospect pool in the NHL. They have done exceptionally well at both getting talent through trades, young prospect talent through trades, and really, really doing well in the draft. They've done really, really well through the draft. And of course, they've had, you know, number one overall picks in Rasmus Dahlin, who he very much looked like he turned the corner in the second half of last year. Owen Power as well. He continues to just look supremely comfortable in his role for such a young age. It feels like, yeah, he's just going to be one of the best defensemen in hockey. And especially he has an offensive mind as well. That could be devastating for the Sabres in a good way. But then you get guys like Matthew Savoy, who they pick him and immediately he looks pretty darn good. He looks ready for the NHL. He's going to go back to the juniors. That's not too surprising. And then Jack Quinn, Jack Quinn has kind of been like the obvious one, because a lot of Sabres fans at the time were not happy they had gotten him. They were not happy at all. Marco Rossi was really the name that a lot I saw, at least on Twitter that night, that Sabres fans really wanted. When they picked Quinn, it was sort of this, no, what are you doing, and all this. And all Quinn has done, essentially, last year especially, was have the greatest AHL season we've seen in like 10 years. He looked like a man amongst boys. He dealt with injuries. He dealt with mono last year, and it didn't matter. He was incredible for last year, and he had a bit of a down spell during the Rochester Americans. Really cool playoff run last year, but he continues to he looks like an NHL player. He absolutely looks like an NHL player and a guy that can do a lot of damage in the NHL. His scoring ability is what makes this so exciting. He does just seem to be a guy that you just think, that's 30-plus goals every season. That's the kind of feeling you get from Jack Quinn. J.J. Paterka maybe seems to be potentially that more overall dangerous player. I think he does have to have a little bit more time in Rochester. But then, again, you have guys like Peyton Krebs, who they got in the Jack Eichel trade, who he's never looked better. You know, with the Golden Knights for, I think, 2 years he was there. He was up and down between the minors and the Golden Knights. He never looked that comfortable with the Sabres. He looked really, really good. And that also goes along with the other guy they got in the Eichel trade, that being Alex Tuch, who, for a lot of Sabres fans, myself included, thinks he could be captain material. And most NHL heads would tell you, for all of his years in Vegas, again, he's only 25, the best brand of hockey he played was in Buffalo this past season. And I would agree with that, you know, stats-wise as well. But they're building a really, really good brand of hockey. They look fast last night. I mentioned that earlier, and it is preseason, but preseason is less so like the NFL, where it's sort of like, no, really, do not look deeply into any of this. where it's a bit different in hockey, where it's like, nah, it's all about the vibes, baby. Jeremy White said it last night. You know, there's really no preseason pledge for preseason hockey. It's all vibes. It's all vibes. And the brand the Sabres are selling right now, Don Granato is head coach, who the one thing I truly miss, I was on the morning run for 7-8 months with Howard and Jeremy. I love where I'm at now, but I loved every Tuesday hearing Don Granato talk. Now I can listen to it. I don't have to work, which is super nice. But, you know, doing that live and hearing it live, he's one of my favorite segments to listen to every week was Don Granato with Howard and Jeremy on Tuesdays. And he's building a very, very exciting team. Him and Kevin Adams are building a very, very exciting team that I think Sabres fans are really excited for. You can tell, even on social media, for years, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter especially, it was one of the most toxic places to be. When the Bills were on their rise, or, you know, they kind of were getting better, they broke the drought. And even then when they weren't, you know, Bills Twitter was never this toxic cesspool where you're just like, I don't want to be around here. I kind of want to mute things and stuff. You never felt that with the Bills. The drought almost became sort of a badge of honor. Like, you knew it would break at some point again because the Bills were never the worst team in football. They were never the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They never really reached rock bottom. They were always just that middling team, just absolute mediocrity in every sense of that word. And, of course, McDermott gets here. They break the playoff drought, and then they get Josh Allen, and we're at where we are today. It was opposite for the Sabres. It was absolutely opposite for the Sabres. You could say for like a 6-year period, the Sabres were without a doubt the worst sports team in North America. You could really make an argument there. And even if you were making a list of all of the North American sports teams and who was the worst run over a 5-year period, 10-year period, the Sabres would likely be on that list. If it's a top 5 list or on that list, top 3, probably on that list. Where now, they seem to be one of the best rounded in hockey right now. And I think they're definitely thinking forward more. They're thinking long-term more. They're seeing what teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche are doing, which is a longevity to it. This is not going to be a quick hitter like the Las Vegas Golden Knights where it's, okay, we're here, and in 5 years, expect us to be at the top of the lottery. Because the worst thing that happened to that franchise was that taste, that little taste of almost having the cup. And now they are one of the grossest organizations in hockey, if not all of hockey. Where Tampa Bay and Colorado have really built what feels very sustainable. You know, with Colorado, who just won the cup, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon are two unbelievable talents that they have just, they're there. They're the guys. They're locked up and they can keep moving forward. They didn't even have great goaltending, but they didn't really need to because they could just score at absolute will. I wonder if the Sabres are still missing that piece. That's why I'm constantly looking at guys like Tkachuk, Jason Robinson. There's constantly this feeling of, but maybe you need that absolute A-plus star. Because while I like Tuck and while I like Krebs, that was what Eichel was. May have been a terrible leader in the locker room. May not have been a great person. Maybe did have to leave Buffalo for the Sabres to take that next step. But at least in terms of A-plus talent, that's what Eichel was. And I wonder if the Sabres are still missing that. Savoy, though, looks great. Jack Quinn, obviously, as I mentioned him, had one of the best AHL seasons in the last 10 years. And Rasmus Dahlin, I think his peak could be on the level of Cale Makar. And if you have that, it's almost 100 points from a defenseman. That's ridiculous. And if you can get that, that can be sort of that last piece. But for right now, where I'm sitting with the Sabres, initially, you know, a few months ago, my expectations were just get better. I just want to clearly see guys get better. Tage Thompson, show me it wasn't a one-year wonder. Get closer to 80 points, if not hit 80 points. Krebs, you know, shoot a little bit more. Have more assists. Cousins, just the bad luck you had at the end of the season. Get rid of that and have, you know, close to a 30-goal season. Skinner, the same thing, and move down the list. Now, be competitive in the spring, or getting into the spring. be competitive where you're showing the teams that it's not just Ottawa and Detroit that are building these really exciting young teams, that Buffalo is right there, and they're kind of just a year behind them, that next year you'll get aggressive in free agency, you'll get aggressive in trades, that when a guy like DeBrincat becomes available, you jump at that trade. When a guy like Matthew Tkachuk becomes available, you jump at that trade and get aggressive with it. My expectations haven't changed completely. It's not a complete 180. But with their first five games being Ottawa, Florida, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, I do think the feeling around this team could change drastically. I like them against Ottawa. Florida, not really. Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, I do. And if you're 3-2 after five, especially that five, I think the feeling around that team is going to carry into December, January, February. Because last year, this team, at every big hurdle, they met the expectations. They surpassed them in most cases. And now this team's a year older. Granato, this is his second full-year head coach. I feel pretty good about where the Sabres are heading. They're not the Bills yet. They don't have that supreme, you know, God-tier athlete that Josh Allen is. But maybe they don't need it. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Aaron Judge has hit 62 home runs. I'm going to give my opinion on where I sit with that, with the AL home run record compared to the MLB home run record. And we'll do that to wrap up the show here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Going to wrap up the show here. Quick final segment as we finish up a Wednesday here on WGR. And Aaron Judge has officially passed Roger Maris in home runs. Did that last night, number 62. And quick opinion on it. Very quick for me. I am an Angels fan, so my passion in baseball is kind of dead. I kept up with the Mets this year because they're a lot of fun. They end up losing the NL East to the Atlanta Braves after holding onto that lead basically the whole season. So that's a super Mets move from them. Trout had his 40th home run today. Love that. But in terms of Judge, I don't know. I'm not willing to just forget the steroid era. I'm just not. I thought I could maybe do it. I thought I could just, yeah, Judge is the new home run guy. Hit 62. The rest of them all took steroids, but I can't. I can't. I had this conversation with my brother. I had it with my dad. I've had it with a few of my friends as well. My one buddy is a huge Yankees fan, and even he kind of agreed with this as well. It's just like, yeah, but that was maybe the most fun in modern baseball, was the steroid era. And I think it was very disingenuous from Major League Baseball to, it felt like, really pushed this as the home run chase. That it was not just effectively a Yankees record. And that's where, for me, I'm never going to forget Bonds and McGuire and Sosa. I wasn't alive, I was literally an infant during the home run chase between Sosa and McGuire. But I've watched documentaries on it. I've heard people who were alive then talk about it. And you can see the smile that comes to their face. Even when they're disinterested in baseball now, they remember that summer. I'm not going to forget that. And it's not like I think Judge is a bad guy. I'm stoked that he hit 62. Great for him. That's awesome. Because I kind of want him to spurn the Yankees. That's just me. But it felt like baseball really was hoping that people would sort of grab onto this and run with it like that summer. And it just never became that. But instead of sort of moving away from it and kind of keeping up with it, obviously, it was the biggest story in baseball for months. They instead shoved it down people's throats, and it really did make it sort of one of those that once he hit it, nobody really cheered for him. They just went, finally, I can go back to the game I was watching instead of you going to this or cutting the screen in half, which no one liked. That's going to do it here for a Wednesday here on the Nightcap. I'll be back tomorrow with Show with the Bulldog as we get very, very close. It's going to be Thursday. So, of course, we will have Joe Ostrowski at 3:30 and, of course, Ross Tucker at 5, becoming one of the biggest segments of the week, especially for Show with the Bulldog. The guy is just a blast. So if you haven't heard him yet, make sure to tune in then. And, of course, I will be back for the Nightcap starting at 7. And, yeah. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Colts and Broncos, because while I'm not there with Mike Shope about suing the Broncos. They are one of the ugliest teams to watch. So we'll do that as we get ready for Thursday Night Football tomorrow on the Nightcap. But that'll do it for me. Have a wonderful rest of your night. This has been the Nightcap. I am Zach Jones, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
May have been a terrible leader in the locker room. May not have been a great person. Maybe did have to leave Buffalo for the Sabres to take that next step. But at least in terms of A-plus talent, that's what Eichel was. And I wonder if the Sabres are still missing that. Savoy, though, looks great. Jack Quinn, obviously, as I mentioned him, had one of the best AHL seasons in the last 10 years. And Rasmus Dahlin, I think his peak could be on the level of Cale Makar. And if you have that, it's almost 100 points from a defenseman. That's ridiculous. And if you can get that, that can be sort of that last piece. But for right now, where I'm sitting with the Sabres, initially, you know, a few months ago, my expectations were just get better. I just want to clearly see guys get better. Tage Thompson, show me it wasn't a one-year wonder. Get closer to 80 points, if not hit 80 points. Krebs, You know, shoot a little bit more. Have more assists. Cousins, just the bad luck you had at the end of the season. Get rid of that and have, you know, close to a 30-goal season. Skinner, the same thing, and move down the list. Now, be competitive in the spring, or getting into the spring. Be competitive where you're showing the teams that it's not just Ottawa and Detroit that are building these really exciting young teams, that Buffalo is right there, and they're kind of just a year behind them, that next year you'll get aggressive in free agency, you'll get aggressive in trades, that when a guy like DeBrincat becomes available, you jump at that trade. When a guy like Matthew Tkachuk becomes available, you jump at that trade and get aggressive with it. My expectations haven't changed completely. It's not a complete 180. But with their first five games being Ottawa, Florida, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, I do think the feeling around this team could change drastically. I like them against Ottawa. Florida, not really. Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver, I do. And if you're 3-2 after five, especially that five, I think the feeling around that team is going to carry into December, January, February. Because last year, this team, at every big hurdle, they met the expectations. They surpassed them in most cases. And now this team's a year older. Granato, this is his second full-year head coach. I feel pretty good about where the Sabres are heading. They're not the Bills yet. They don't have that supreme, you know, God-tier athlete that Josh Allen is. But maybe they don't need it. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Aaron Judge has hit 62 home runs. I'm going to give my opinion on where I sit with that, with the AL home run record compared to the MLB home run record. And we'll do that to wrap up the show here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Going to wrap up the show here. Quick final segment as we finish up a Wednesday here on WGR. And Aaron Judge has officially passed Roger Maris in home runs. Did that last night, number 62. And I'm gonna quick opinion on it. Very quick for me. I am an Angels fan, so for, you know, my passion in baseball is kind of dead. I kept up with the Mets this year because they're a lot of fun. They end up losing the NL East to the Atlanta Braves after holding onto that lead basically the whole season. So that's a super Mets move from them. Trout had his 40th home run today. Love that. But in terms of Judge, I don't know. I'm not willing to just forget the steroid era. I'm just not. I thought I could maybe do it. I thought I could just, you know, yeah, Judge is the new home run guy. Hit 62. The rest of them all took steroids, but I can't. I can't. I had this conversation with my brother. I had it with my dad. I've had it with a few of my friends as well. My one buddy is a huge Yankees fan, and even he kind of agreed with this as well. It's just like, yeah, but that was maybe the most fun in modern baseball, was the steroid era. And I think it was very disingenuous from Major League Baseball to, it felt like, really pushed this as the home run chase. That it was not just effectively a Yankees record. And that's where, for me, I'm never going to forget Bonds and McGuire and Sosa. I wasn't alive, I was literally an infant during the home run chase between Sosa and McGuire. But I've watched documentaries on it. I've heard, you know, people who were alive then talk about it. And you can see the smile that comes to their face. Even when they're disinterested in baseball now, they remember that summer. I'm not going to forget that. And it's not like I think Judge is a bad guy. I'm stoked that he hit 62. Great for him. That's awesome. Because I kind of want him to spurn the Yankees. That's just me. But it felt like baseball really was hoping that people would sort of grab onto this and run with it like that summer. And it just never became that. But instead of sort of moving away from it and kind of keeping up with it, obviously it was the biggest story in baseball for months. They instead shoved it down people's throats, and it really did make it sort of one of those that once he hit it, nobody really cheered for him. They just went, finally, I can go back to the game I was watching instead of you, you know, going to this or cutting the screen in half, which no one liked. That's going to do it here for a Wednesday here on the Nightcap. I'll be back tomorrow with Show with the Bulldog as we get very, very close. It's going to be Thursday. So, of course, we will have Joe Ostrowski at 3:30 and, of course, Ross Tucker at 5, becoming one of the biggest segments of the week, especially for Show with the Bulldog. The guy is just a blast. So if you haven't heard him yet, make sure to tune in then. And, of course, I will be back for the Nightcap starting at 7. And, yeah. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Colts and Broncos because while I'm not there with Mike Shope about suing the Broncos, they are one of the ugliest teams to watch. So we'll do that as we get ready for Thursday Night Football tomorrow on the Nightcap. But that'll do it for me. Have a wonderful rest of your night. This has been the Nightcap. I am Zach Jones, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.